Welcome to the Geek Arena, where we square off with the latest geek news around the globe. Trash talking and nerd raging at its finest. Step into the arena. Welcome, Geek Nation. Thanks for joining us on our very first Geek Arena podcast. My name is Gerald, and I have the honor of hosting this noob-tastic podcast today. Joining me are some guys you'll become quite familiar with, Brandon, Joel, and Matthew. Today we'll be going over some of the hottest geek topics, starting out with CW's Flash and Arrow, sprinkled in with some Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and raging out on the current state of the DC Cinematic Universe. We'll also hit you with the latest game releases and just some all-around tomfoolery. So let's dive right in. How you guys doing?
Fantastic, guys.
Excited that we're all finally here.
It's been supposed to say hootie hoo at this part, and I am disappointed that we did not.
This episode of the podcast will be touching a lot of geek topics that just hit the ground. So the Flash, let's have it. What do you think?
I think personally the Flash kind of looks like a red turd. Look at the suit though. It's just too skin tight. It doesn't aesthetically work for me. It may work for you if you're maybe, you know, a girl who likes that stuff. It doesn't work for me.
Have you read comics with the everything's skin tight?
Yes. Lauren. I have read comics. And it's a little different in comics, because I mean in comics you don't have to see all the bits and pieces, but it's like really, really skin tight. And I'm not sure I can handle it. I will still watch it though. I will tell you right now, I'm still going to watch it.
You're gonna watch it and like it, Matt. You know you're probably like right. That skin tight.
Brandon, DC guy, what do you think? Lead us in.
The costume, it's not terrible. It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but then I also understand television show season one budgets can't be mega awesome. There was something that one of the mercs in the Mandalorian, Mandalore clan brought out that I agree with. I don't like that the emblem is red. That kind of bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it doesn't look too bad. I'm sure that they'll make some changes along the way, but I'm excited for the show. I mean, DC hasn't done a lot in, you know, live action film, but since Arrow on television started, they've been making some decent attempts to expand their universe there. So I'm all for it, dude. I mean, we're talking to Flash. They're going to have, you know, Zoom in it, Killer Frost vibe. I'm sure we'll see the rogues at some point. You know, it's like the more the merrier. Just bring it on and let me watch it.
Yeah, I suppose it could be worse too. We could have ourselves some what'd you call that, Silver Age costume going on.
Yeah,
hey, the Silver Age costume, or you don't, the Golden Age. You're talking about Jay Garrick Flash.
Okay,
that
must be.
Was like the sweetest thing in history. So don't hate. Put a bowl on your head.
I will say the first image that that they CW released of the Flash when he's crouched down, I loved it. But that's because I didn't see the lower half of the costume. then a few days later we got the photos of him on the set, you know, jumping down the stairs and, you know, with the pants and the lower half of it revealed, and I try not to judge too much by set photos because things can look a lot different, you know, once the actual production is done. But I like I said, I love the cowl. I love the top half of it. But at the lower it gets, I'm just going to say just keep that out of the frame and we'll be good.
What about you, Joel? What are your thoughts? I haven't heard from you.
I think we just need to see and hopefully it's good. You know?
Yeah, I am kind of feeling what Gerald's saying. It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it also hasn't been put on film. So,
what would be the worst thing you've ever seen?
The worst thing I've ever seen: George Clooney's Batman outfit. Okay,
don't get worse than that.
With the hard nipples.
Yes, that's the end. Nothing in comic book film or television will be worse than that. Just was.
I don't think
he even knows it was wrong, dude. It wasn't cool.
I don't think we could bring up live action superhero movie tragedies without bringing that up.
Oh, that's just burned into the brains of
what everyone. Yeah, what has been seen cannot be unseen, unfortunately, when it comes to that George Clooney Batman film. But do I will add this though. I do like the initiative that DC is taking, because we haven't seen them really jump forward with anything in film. But it really, with the success of Arrow, especially in season two, I really think that DC is diving in head first, and I do applaud them on that. They didn't hold back with the Flash costume. I mean, let's rewind and go back to Smallville and how much, you know, how much DC was not involved in that, and how much they want kind of play that hands off. But I'm glad to see them finally stepping up and taking ownership of their characters on television, giving them more freedom, giving the writers creative freedom, bringing in, you know, actual DC writers. I think that's the best decision. Yep. That's the best decision that they've ever made. So I really enjoyed the episode of Arrow with Flash on it. I think the actor is played, you know, captures Barry Allen in the good way. So I'm excited to see the show. I can't wait to see the trailer. I want to see some of the special, you know, special effects, you know, see how they animate him running, see if there's lightning and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to it all in all. But I'm really, really excited, really pumped about what DC's doing on TV. And I hope that carries over to film in a big way. With that said, you know, we can't talk about what DC is doing on television without talking about what DC is currently planning on doing in film. What did we think about the Superman versus Batman, or whatever is being called these days?
Okay, here's what I don't get is why people call it a Justice League movie. It's Dude. Got Superman and Batman, and from what we know right now, a cameo appearance from Wonder Woman. Doesn't start filming until May. Several months after Cavill and Affleck. I don't understand why it's an issue with some people.
And me too. In my opinion, it's going to be like Iron Man 2 with Black Widow.
Yeah,
She was not a big character in that film. I mean, she was present enough for her role to be known, but I mean, I think it's going to do the film good to have a female, not only a female hero, but a female character. And what better, you know, character for them to bring in other than Wonder Woman? I mean, they've already had trouble with trying to, you know, bring Wonder Woman in solo via TV and writing the Wonder Woman script. So I think this will be a good way for them to intro her and see how the public responds to her and go from there. But otherwise, I don't get this gripe and the complaint that everybody has about some of these movies having too many actors and characters in it, when we had, what, Lord of the Rings had 12 main characters in it?
Yeah,
oh, but Lord of the Rings is a bit of a different story here.
I mean, but
this is a Batman versus Superman movie, not a Frodo versus Bilbo versus et cetera, et cetera.
I know it's a different story, but you're comparing three actors, you know, three characters who backgrounds aren't nowhere near as complex as some of the Lord of the Rings characters. You're comparing three characters to 12 characters, which no comparison. So I don't see why three characters is such a big issue.
Yeah, history has them together in bits and pieces anyway, so I don't know why it's a big issue, really.
Well, I'm not making an issue. Something. Personally, I'm just making fun of it. Because you guys know I saw something, too, that they're looking at doing a Black Green Lantern to be... or should I say African American Green Lantern?
No,
to be...
it's fine to say Black Green Lantern. No one's going to be angry.
Or we could just say John. Or we could just say John Stewart.
That's
who it actually is. Hey, Jeff's correct. John Stewart.
Or we can just say Idris Elba, just in case, you know.
I would love to see Idris Elba, but I don't see it happening. He's
locked into Marvel.
Yeah, and
what's he in Marvel?
Let him out that contract.
That's right. He's Heimdall. He's the seer. He's Heimdall.
He's Heimdall, and call me a purist or whatever, but I don't want to see a crossover actor. I don't want to see a Marvel actor in the DC universe.
Just leave him where he is. He's fine where he's at. Him as Heimdall. Let it be.
There's plenty
but
of
Heimdall's
there's,
a limited role though. I mean, you can only do so much with Heimdall.
But there's
it doesn't matter. Just let him be.
Yeah, there's plenty of other actors out there that can play the role. Just take your time and do your work, do some digging, and find your own unique character to bring John Stewart to life. It doesn't have to be the most popular Black actor that's out there right now. So
yeah, there's more Black people. There's not just three Black people in the world, guys. There's a lot of us now.
You know, yeah, there's a ton of us.
But wait, I count four. You, G, Idris Elba and Samuel Jackson.
Hey, I'd be down to play. Just get DC, give me a call. I will play John Stewart.
Don't give him any ideas.
Call me. I will wear that whack Green Lantern digital mask that Ryan Reynolds
not
wore.
Happening no more.
It better not happen.
I don't think they'll go that route again. I highly doubt it. Yeah. But there is one thing I do want to point out, and it's something that Joe touched on. And he did touch on that, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman have been throughout history together. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who formed the Justice League, and they are the DC Trinity.
I don't
care what you say.
It has to start with them.
Exactly. If you're going to have Superman in this next Man of Steel sequel, and then you're going to have Batman in it, you better figure out a way to put Wonder Woman in there.
It's like having Marvel's Big Four: Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, and Captain America.
Hulk can't be in it. Put him in there.
Yeah, you have to have the heavy hitters, and I think the best way to start is with the trio, like you said. So yeah. I'm not worried about it, and I know a lot of people. No. I know a lot of people disagree with me. I'm actually kind of excited for Gail to see what she does as Wonder Woman. She's already been posting Twitter pictures of her in the gym buffing up. I know a lot of people had complaints about that, which is mind-boggling because look at Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. They are not as big as they are when they're playing Captain America and Thor.
Dude, anybody can gain weight. So huge, dude. So
yeah,
I mean, even Jamie Alexander put on weight for Sif. I mean, this whole body image shaming, that's got to stop. It's not cool, dude.
I agree.
Just let this girl play the role and be good. As long as she's good, I don't care what she looks like. That's my thing. Be good in the role. You can look like whatever you want. I don't care.
Then we had the complaint that her breasts weren't big enough. I'm like, really?
That's how sexist? A bunch of neckbeards whining.
How sexist?
Yes.
Yes, neckbeards. Call them out. Call the neckbeards out.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
How sexist are we in? Are we in 2014 when the first thing we notice is a woman with small breasts? In comparison to the comic book version, if you want to be technical with it, Amazon's only had one breast. So are we going to go that far as to casting a woman with one breast?
Chop off a breast, just in case.
I mean, if you want to be technical with it, with all everybody, you know, male or female, Hemsworth ain't as buff as Thor.
No, he's not.
Oh no,
Cavill ain't as big as Superman really is. You know, those are unrealistic images of human beings.
They were drawn. I mean, come on. They were drawn.
I will say this before we move on to our next topic. Unfortunately, what I've been saying for a while now is I feel that we are incredibly lucky to be getting the films that we are getting, these superhero films. I've waited since my childhood to see Spider-Man swinging through the streets of New York,
yep.
Superman flying and finally fighting someone other than the con artist Lex Luthor. And
yes.
So it really pains me that the people that are complaining about these films are the people who are supposed to love these characters. I know that you want them to be. You want them to be good, but it's called an adaptation for a reason. It's not going to be page by page, frame by frame from the comic book. It's going to be the studio's, you know, interpretation of this cinematic universe. Look at Marvel. Marvel is not copying their comics page by page. They're taking the best bits from each saga, each story, and putting them together to create an entirely different universe.
You hit the nail on the head there, because that's what they want. They want it to be page by page, comic by comic. They want somebody that looks just like Wonder Woman. They want somebody that looks just like Superman, just like when Lex Luthor was cast just recently with the Superman movie. They wanted, I think it's Bryan Cranston.
That dude's like 60, whatever,
that,
dude.
That was a terrible idea. I'm like, really? Why does everybody? It's because
everybody wanted it because he looked just like him. No, and that's why they freak out.
It's because
he made mess.
It's because,
whatever,
yep,
dude.
It's because he was, it was because he's bald and because Breaking Bad just finished his season finale and everyone was drooling over it. That's why. So let's find the first bald white guy with the biggest fan base, and let's cast him as Lex Luthor. But then we get Jesse Eisenberg, and all of a sudden he's not good enough because it's not Bryan Cranston. So in my opinion, even if it wasn't Jesse Eisenberg, people still would have hated who the Lex Luthor
exactly.
was because it wasn't Bryan Cranston. So Yeah.
We did the same thing, though, with Ben Affleck, too.
Oh, you know what? I was upset about Batfleck at first. I will admit that.
I tripped on that. My anger, I would say this. My anger from Batfleck came from... it wasn't even rumored that he was in the running for Batman. Nope. It was so much a surprise to me. They listed off 5 or 6 different actors, in my opinion, that could have done the role. And I was leaning towards Josh Brolin. That's actually the guy I was leaning towards. But then you announced that Ben Affleck is Batman. Way from left field. Where does that come from?
Yeah.
So that's where my rage came from. I will admit it. It's like, whoa, you kind of caught me off guard with that. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to need to sleep on this. But and I will say, after hearing Affleck talk and seeing his dedication to the role, seeing the pictures of him in the gym, to me, that's all I need from my actor. You need to come into the movie and let be the character. Don't come in as Ben Affleck and try to play Batman. You need to become
walking there as Bruce Wayne.
You need to come in there as Bruce Wayne. Yes. I'm still on the fence. I need to see something.
I agree. I'm undecided.
I need to see the costume. I need to see the Batmobile. Haha. I need to see I need to see a trailer. And then I'll judge. But until then, I will hold my opinion like I do on most movies until I see something or hear something.
No. I think speaking of Batmobile.
What about the Batmobile?
Mm-hmm. I think we were gonna move on to the point of an unfinished movie.
Oh, Batman! Yeah, Superman, Batman. Apparently, the Batmobile is done, and apparently they're still reworking on the script, and people are throwing a hissy fit yet again. At this point, Brandon, I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me that I feel like people are just really looking for stuff to nitpick at now.
Yeah, I need to interject on this. First of all, a couple of things from what we were talking about before. That whole panel for panel thing with comic book movies. Zack Snyder did it with Watchmen, and everybody still pissed and moaned about it. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing movie. So mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. People are going to complain. Now, on to this. Batmobile is finished, and apparently the script isn't complete, according to Jeremy Irons,
yes.
So he apparently reads the script, and he's like, oh, I read the script, but I don't think it's finished or whatever. So now, according to some people, the script is only halfway done. So we came from him saying he read the script and thinks it's finished to the script being half done by some people. I don't know how individuals come to these weird conclusions on their own, but whatever, that's fine. Everyone's got their own opinion. Look, it's simple. Goyer made that script. He wrote that script up. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout that time period, they were still working on everything else in that film. Mm-hmm. Costumes got finished. The Batmobile got finished. I'm sure designs for Wayne Manor got finished and Gotham City. All this other stuff was getting finished. They say, okay, David Goyer, he becomes a producer with television and film and some other things. Christopher Nolan is out. You know, they put David Goyer in a producer position. They bring in Chris Terrio to do a rewrite on the script. There's no way this guy is going to be able to rewrite the entire script by right now, today. From what I understand is that he's putting some finishing touches on the script. That is what I read prior to Jeremy Irons saying this. But according to some people, the script's half done and everybody's freaking out. It's like, look, dude, other films have went to film before the script was done. I don't care if you don't like casting. I don't care if you don't like Zack Snyder. I don't give a crap. It's like Gerald said, we're finally getting movies like this. We're getting Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman in the same film and at the same time. It's like, look, piss and moan about stuff after we start seeing things.
But
after they start filming big stuff, cry about it then. Right now, let them do what they're doing and get this thing going. I mean, they're not even going to start filming principal photography until mid-April or something like that. So if he's doing finishing touches, which he might be done with right now, just let him get it done. I mean, why complain about something that we ain't seen? We ain't read the script, so why whine about it?
Not only that, we also have no control of it.
Yeah, we were close to getting the Fantastic Four canceled, and that just turned out to be a rumor. So that's clear. We have changed some things. We've got, let's see.
Mass Effect. prime example. Mass Effect 3.
Don't get me started on that. I disagree. I hated that. I hated that. No.
Listen to me. Just listen before you start screaming at me. I'm not saying that I disagree with the ending. Personally, I didn't play Mass Effect 3. I've been meaning to, just haven't gotten around to it. From what I've read on it, it made the choices completely useless. But the point that I was saying was, they got EA to change it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I disagree with the change. I don't disagree with the ending. No, I disagree with the change.
Me too. But
I was fine with the ending.
But going real quick, going back to Superman, because it is Superman's movie.
Yes, people, it is.
Yeah. So my thing is, people, it's very rare that the script is 100% complete before production begins, especially when you bring in another writer to put on the finishing touches on it. You know how long that will halt production if we waited for a script to be 100% complete? Even if it was 100% complete, it changes on a day-by-day basis on the set anyway, especially when you have talented actors coming in. Prime example, people love Iron Man 1 to bits. I do too. It's probably one of my favorite Marvel films, Iron Man 1.
It's the best one in my opinion.
But you know what? There was no script whatsoever for Iron Man. It was pretty much 90% improv. Ask Robert Downey Jr. and Jeff Bridges. They came in every day on set saying, "This is the idea of the scene that we're going to have, and let's just wing it. Let's just knock it out and see how it works." And it turned out to be one of the best superhero movies, and it even launched the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'll just end with this. Let's just enjoy the films we're getting. Not that they're going to be 100% perfect, but let's just be happy that we're living in an age where geeks and nerds, we're finally getting the things we love. We're getting to see them on the screen. The screen, DVDs, video games, animes, and let's just embrace it, people. Let's just embrace it. Because you know what? If we keep complaining about it, they're going to stop.
That's true. And, you know, the quality of what we're getting overall is awesome. I mean, we just got an awesome Thor movie. I just say anybody who's complaining is just belly aching for no reason at all. Hands down.
I agree.
I'll say everyone is entitled to their opinions. I'm not saying they're not. But what I'm asking is just if these are the characters you love. If they're really the characters you love, give it a shot, people. Just give it a shot. Give it a chance. We haven't seen anything on Superman versus Batman or whatever the film is going to be called when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's not even titled yet. What are people whining about? I don't
give it a chance. Give it a chance. And if you don't, when you see the film and you don't like it, that's you. But I guarantee you, I will be there day one watching Superman and versus Batman with a grin on my face. Whether it's 100% movie, 90%, 80% movie, I would just be glad that I'm finally getting to see Batman and Superman on the film. Yes, do I want an A+ movie? Of course I do. I don't want to pay, you know, $10 or $12 to see a garbage film. But at this point, I'm pretty confident in these directors and these studios, at least when it comes to Marvel and DC, that they have a game plan. If you watch any of the special features on Man of Steel, you will realize that Zack Snyder has a game plan, and he's had it. So
I'm sorry, but I gotta interject here.
No, by all means.
If you own a Man of Steel DVD or Blu-ray, watch the special feature about Krypton. Just do yourself. I didn't watch it for months until after I bought the movie. Just watch it. There's something in place there. Just freaking watch. And don't be one of those people that say it's just a DVD feature. It doesn't matter. It's not canon. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. happened.
Yep.
That started off as a DVD feature. Watch
that
the freaking
did, actually.
DVD feature.
I remember
it,
that.
Yep. Yes.
The one shots.
That's what I'm saying.
Marvel one shots.
Watch it. It's canon. There's a plan going on at DC. Things are happening there. I don't work at Warner. None of us work there. Something's happening. Let's just go. Next subject.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you actually just segue right into that. We don't need to touch on it too much, but there's a big the hottest topic of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now is I know a lot of fans gave up on the show. It was really off to a slow start. Some of the characters weren't meshing well, and it just didn't, all in all, it seemed like it didn't turn into the show that a lot of people wanted it to be.
The beginning was just awkward. It was just like, you've got a, I mean, I guess that was kind of the point, but for the most part, it was just like, you've just thrown a bunch of people on a giant plane. Now what? It was just kind of awkward for me.
I agree with the awkwardness, and the cast clearly at that point of the pilot hadn't meshed well, and it really showed on camera. But I kind of expected it. I didn't expect it to be dragged out as long as it did. But I for one, I will say that I have watched every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I stuck with it. It was, I would call it not so much as my guilty pleasure show, but you guys here know me. I'm a Marvel guy. I'm a Marvel.
Yeah.
I like Coulson, and he is the reason I stuck around with the show. He is the only reason. Eventually, the two characters I started to like outside of Coulson was Fitz and Simmons. I still don't like Grant Ward, and I don't really care. I really don't care for Agent Mai.
Nope.
Sky irritated me. They're starting to make her interesting. But you know what really drove Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in gear for me is a lot of the cameos. And I'm not talking superhero cameos. I actually didn't want too many superhero cameos because I feel that's going to take away from the show. But cameos, you know, such as, what's her name? Samuel Jackson, because he is, you know, Director Fury. Maria Hill. Yeah, you have Maria Hill. And then
we need more Maria Hill in that show. That's one of my issues.
Definitely. And we recently just had another S.H.I.E.L.D.
Lady Sif.
No, another agent S.H.I.E.L.D. character from the comics.
The Tahiti episode.
Yes, Tahiti episode. That
I forget the dude's name. That was a good episode.
That was the best episode of the show, in my opinion. And I think if we can please Joss Whedon and, you know, his writing team and Marvel, if you can keep up with that level of writing, that level of drama and action in the TV show, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will finally be what we all want it to be. And we won't need cameos. As many cameos by, you know, Lady Sif, Captain America, Iron Man. I know they exist in the world. You don't need to do fan service and, you know, crack corny jokes about Iron Man for me to know that he's in there.
They need to just stop with the abundance of corny jokes that they do in general. That needs to chill out.
Write a solid. It's okay for two characters or a couple of characters to have that sort of quirky comedic role, but I think at first they try to have every character do it, and that doesn't work. It should only be, you know, certain characters, in my opinion, like Coulson. Coulson was always the wisecracker in the Marvel Universe.
He wasn't even a wisecracker. He's just dry humor. That's his whole thing is, like, in at the beginning of Avengers, I can't even remember the scene, but I know the dry humor that he has with Tony sitting there trying to make jokes with him, and he's just staring at him with a, you know, just a blank face. And it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of not the same Coulson from the movies in the show, honestly.
It can't be, though. I've had this conversation with a few people. He started out the same Coulson, but I think in order for him to be a leader, because in the show, he's a leader of a team now. And I think at this point, he has to change. He can't be the same Coulson from the one stop. He needs to become not necessarily Fury, but you have to become a leader. And so that means wise jokes, you know, dry humor aside, you have to lead this team. They have to be an effective team. In Tahiti, he started to become that. And my hope for the show is that they keep moving in that direction and don't regress to the what I call filler episodes that don't really play any vital role
like
in the
freaking anime. That's what that show's like sometimes.
Yes.
You watch good stuff and then you got a bunch of filler in the middle and you're like, what's it? Whatever, dude.
You watch five to six not so good episodes to get one premium episode, and it shouldn't be that way. And
Dragon Ball Z.
Yes. We're waiting on Goku the entire season.
So much heart disease.
So, but all in all, that I guess that's my spiel on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's coming around. I will recommend people listening to this give it a shot at least. Watch at least go and watch the Tahiti and the Yes Men episodes, and
move on from there.
And move on from there. You haven't missed much. It's okay to dive back in right now and gear up. Gear up for season two. I think we're in for a treat for season two.
Yeah, I mean, this is coming from somebody who gave up on the show, especially after Clark Gregg got on Twitter and called us losers for stop watching it. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. I thought you were cool before that. Anyway, no, seriously, you know, the show just, it kind of hit a lull, and it I dropped it. I did the same thing with Arrow in season one. It kind of hit a lull, and I dropped it.
Same here.
I went back to it during season two. I'll probably do the same thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it has improved a bit. You know, I'm not looking for perfect television or anything like that. I'm looking for consistency and character development and for not... I just don't like not some sucking. Of the characters. Yeah. So, I mean, just... Yeah. And you know what, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It wouldn't hurt you to add a few more black people into the show.
Oh my god!
No, you know what?
Don't even.
Diversity issue on that show.
Oh my god!
They do.
I'm gonna back that up. The one.
Of course, you're gonna black that up.
I'm gonna black it up. Did that? Ages of S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to black it up. Ages of S.H.I.E.L.D. need to black it up.
There's a diversity issue there. Come on,
I mean,
guys.
Okay. Let me. See, we're gonna get off topic here, but I'm okay with it. Let me put it in a way like this, and I'm trying to think of how my words so I don't accidentally say black it up again.
You're about to get so racist.
if
leave it to the Mexican dude.
Shut up, Joel. I don't know a Mexican on the internet.
Geeks and nerds, put your children to bed. It's about to get real in here. It's about to get real.
What I'm trying to say is, if equality is such, why is it such a big deal that there has to be a black person on the show? I mean, why does everything have to have a black person?
Can I interject here?
Go ahead. I mean, you could answer my question.
Mm-hmm. It's an issue of representation, dude. I mean, in everyday life, I mean, I don't walk out my door and just see only white people. You know, I see
everybody. I mean, you live in the area, so...
I mean, I'm just saying, seriously, though, you know, it's a diversity issue. And Hollywood has consistently had a diversity issue. Give us more black people. And I'm not just saying black male. I like more black women on television and film. Honestly, dude, if I can just be real right now. I mean, they had that one black chick on that one episode that I love, and they locked her up. It's like, what the heck, dude?
She was a villain. She was a villain.
Man, and then, bring her back.
And then,
I just...
And then we had Mike Peterson, who is now Deathlok, and
Deathlok can kick rocks, dude.
Yeah,
that was disappointing.
Yes,
dude.
Yes. And then recently we just had another, you know, we had another Black Shield agent on there, and he got chopped in the throat, and that's the last we saw of him. So
that's common knowledge that the black guys always die first. I mean.
In the 1980s, it's 2014.
Yeah, man. I mean, like seriously, like just being okay, really
and I'm
serious
not,
right
let me,
now.
Let me put a disclaimer here before we continue. I'm not at all against black people. I love black people. Two of my best friends are black.
Okay,
you know,
dude. You don't need a disclaimer, Matt.
I'm just making sure. But my thing here
for those of you who don't know Matt, he has a black card.
We love Matt. He talks about school.
He has a black card.
But my only thing is, I mean, if it's a representation issue, I mean, don't make it a representation issue. Don't freak out like we did with when Fantastic Four.
That's completely different. Let me chime in.
Yeah, that's not the same thing. I'm digging Black Johnny Storm so I can laugh at fanboys who are racist. That's what I did.
I do agree with you, Matthew. It unfortunately, it shouldn't be a representation. It should just be natural. And that's the issue.
But I mean, but it's like, how do they select actors? Should we select them based them on their acting skills, or, well, this one's a pretty good actor, but this one's black, so I guess he should be on there first.
No, you base it off, you know, off who's the better actor. I remember I had an issue with the whole Jamie Foxx thing as Electro, and I remember Gerald said to me, he's like, he might have been the best dude at audition, and it's true. You know, as much as I don't really like Jamie Foxx, the dude's a good actor.
I agree with that.
It's like, look, you know, let's be really blunt about this.
I will say
there's not a lot of representation for minorities on television or film.
I agree.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's not a lot of representation there.
I think kids, especially if it's a show with superheroes and kids are watching, I think it's bad to paint a picture of an entirely a non-diverse cast group.
I don't think kids pay attention to
I didn't.
I paid more attention to the fact that he was a superhero and he was awesome.
Growing up, I love Spider-Man. I love Captain America. But in the back of my mind, I knew that I really couldn't be Spider-Man because I'm black. Even Stan Lee, when he created Spider-Man, said that the reason Spider-Man is dressed head to toe is because he wanted any little kid to be able to look at Spider-Man and believe that he can be Spider-Man. But when you see Captain America, you clearly know blonde hair, blue eyes. That's what he is.
I think I read something on Captain America that was supposed to be, because when Captain America came out, that was during World War II or around the time. I'm not completely accurate. But the point that he was blonde hair, blue eyes is because that was Marvel spitting in the face of Hitler and his regime. Because, you know, that was Hitler's thing. All blonde haired, blue eyes people was the perfect Aryan race.
And here you've got
the one blonde haired, blue eyed guy fighting for freedom, justice, and the quote unquote American way.
Okay, you know what? I'm just, you know, Cap is my favorite Marvel character. I'm never going to switch that up. But I'm with Gerald on this. As a child reading comic books, dude, you know, you see all these white people, you do kind of look for those characters. Where's that guy that looks like me? That's why when Milestone Comics hit, man, and you know, you had Icon and Hardware and Rocket and then Static, you know, it was something to get excited about because you finally had that guy that looked like you. Guy that could move planets and punch somebody into the sun, and he looked like, and it resonates with you because of that. And you know, You finally got that guy that you feel like you can relate to. And I feel like for youth, minority youth, they need that. And not just black minority youth. That's one of the things that I'm digging about with the Flash TV show, is putting vibe in it.
Yep.
You know, you got something for the little Latin kids, man. It's like, dude, you have to embrace the diversity. If you don't, you're going to get stuck in that same bullcrap rut that existed for years.
I will say this to the studios and the executives: don't force it, though. We don't need you to force it.
Don't make it crap.
Don't do it to be politically correct. Do it because you generally know that, hey, Marvel or DC do have these ethnic characters, and it will be good for children to be able to see them, which is why I'm so digging the fact that Falcon is in Captain America. Even Anthony Mackie says that, I am glad that I can be this representation to kids in my neighborhood, that we don't all have to be football players. We don't all have to be basketball players or rappers.
Yeah, I'm tired of that crap. I got a real job.
These are things we can be a superhero. I can be out in the front line with Captain America, and I don't try to turn everything into a race thing. But when I see it, I have to point it out. And it's something that I, as I said, as a child, as a kid growing up, watching all of these superheroes, it's something that I longed for, even though I wasn't vocal about it. And I didn't really know why. It was just something that was in me that said, hey, where is that guy in the spandex that saves people in a burning building that looks like me?
And I agree.
And I'll leave it at that. So
yeah, I agree.
Last comment.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Why do you think Power Rangers was so awesome? Their cast was diverse. It was awesome. Yep.
Everyone had a ranger that they can relate to.
Everybody. Yep.
Well, you guys aren't wrong.
Of course.
All right, and now
let's move on. Yeah, bring your kids out of bed now.
On to a topic that is really hot right now, especially among PlayStation and Xbox lovers of the like. I had the joy of playing Titanfall today.
Titanfall's not for PlayStation. Cough, cough.
I'm not. I didn't say it was.
We're talking about gamers as a whole. I'm saying we're not making this a fanboy
thing. I'm saying this is a topic among PlayStation gamers and Xbox gamers.
If you're a PlayStation gamer and you're not talking about Titanfall, there's something wrong with you.
I think you forgot about the Master Race, but I'll allow it.
What's that?
The PC Master Race.
No, 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 yeah, yeah. We don't talk about those guys on this podcast.
Hey, 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 hey. I submit to the Master Race.
No, we got love for the PC. We got love for the PC, but I mean,
that's a lie. They have to use our peripherals to play.
Get out of here! Get out of here, Brandon. I will summon Gabe Newell. I will summon him.
But
tell him to bring it.
Let me rewind back in time before I go into my spiel about Titanfall. When the next gen consoles were announced, needless to say, in my opinion, Xbox One made some huge, huge mistakes. At least for me, I have been an Xbox gamer for a while.
Hold on one second. Gerald abandoned us.
I did.
Used to be PlayStation gamers back in middle school.
I did.
And he was like, "Screw you guys."
I grew up.
I bought a PlayStation by default because I couldn't find a Wii.
I grew up on PlayStation. My brother introduced me to the very first PlayStation 1 and then the PlayStation 2. But one random Christmas, my mother brought me an Xbox because my brother had a PlayStation 2 and she didn't want us to fight over the system. So we had our own. And I discovered the joys of the games that are on the Xbox. And at the time, you know, I missed my PlayStation games. And I wasn't wealthy enough to buy both systems, even though I wanted to. But in my opinion, I always say that get the system that is best for you. Don't be an Xbox fanboy. Don't be a PlayStation fanboy. Take a long, hard look at yourself and what types of games you like and go from there. And that's what I did with this next-gen system.
I definitely 100% agree with you on that, dude. That's what gamers need to do.
I wasn't going to jump on the Xbox One bandwagon just because it was an Xbox and I had the regular Xbox and the Xbox 360. I literally waited for both consoles to announce their specs, their games, and their features, and this time around, the system I felt that I need to have at least right out the gate was the PlayStation 4. And you know, that was just based on the gaming, the controller, the system, the overall fixes that, in my opinion, Sony finally made to their console this time around.
The specs is what got me, honestly. Dude,
as a gamer, I care about
really?
Gaming.
Really?
As a character.
Specs?
Well, let's... yeah.
I mean, one
as somebody...
And a PS4,
as
side
somebody
to side
who
and play a cross-platform game, yes.
Another disclaimer here. I don't own either Xbox One, PS4, but I should say that I did read the specs on it, and I think the specs for the Xbox were better.
No, they're not.
The specs on the PS4 are better than the
PlayStation.
Xbox One.
PlayStation actually won the hardware controller award, and the online award, but. Again, that, you know, like I said, that's me coming from Xbox to PlayStation. And so I, as a gamer, I'm about gaming. Gaming is first, in my opinion. My console needs to be a gaming console first and foremost before you add on any other feature. And in my opinion, Microsoft dropped the ball. This was far from a gaming console at E3. I think they said the word TV all in one about a total of 100 plus times in the word gaming. The word gaming I heard maybe 3 or 4 times. So that I would just to sum it up, that's what, you know, why I made my decision. I got the PS4, you know, first. I always planned on getting the Xbox One, you know, at some point in time when financially it was okay and when they had a list of games that I really wanted. And Titanfall was very high on my list when I saw it at E3 before I found out that it was an Xbox exclusive. When I found out it was an Xbox exclusive, I will say I was heartbroken. I was very heartbroken because I knew I wouldn't have an Xbox One anytime soon. But with that being said, my brother is the type of gamer who buys both consoles because he is a fan of both. He's lucky. Yeah. He's lucky enough to be able to purchase both systems.
And he's awesome too, man.
Yeah, he is. Shout out to Thilo. He'll be on the show sometime. Shout out to Thilo. Awesome, dude. But
I don't know who he is, but he sounds pretty cool.
But, he's cool, man. Yeah, he's cool. People. He's cool people. But he invited me over today to play Titanfall. And so I can make up my mind whether it was worth my time and my money. And my gripe was, I don't think $500 price tag on Xbox One with one game is worth it. So I'll come over, I'll play it, and see what I think. I was already interested in it. But I played it today, and I will say, I loved it. I love Titanfall. I love playing it. My hopes were answered because I didn't want it to be Call of Duty with mechs. I did not want that. I know a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy when I say this, but Call of Duty is far from the best shooter in existence.
I agree. Completely. Run and gun, and there's no direction, and
I need tactics.
I honestly have I have more fun when me, you, and Thilo are playing Killzone, because it actually takes us to figure out, hey, where do we need to flank these guys on the map? Call of Duty, we just shoot people, and it gets boring after a while.
I agree. I came from Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon and, you know, strategy, tactics, and Call of Duty is far from that. So when I saw Titanfall, and I knew it was, you know, it's a new studio, but it's primarily made up of the developers that came from the Call of Duty department. I'm a sucker for mechs, and I've been craving a mech game.
Who isn't?
I've been craving a mech game for the longest time.
Wait, hold on. Joe was going to interject here.
Go ahead, Joel.
Mm-hmm. My man.
I love everything mech, just across the board, and I just think that when you put that genre together, there's just so much you can do with it, and I look forward to getting into Titanfall and trying my hands at it.
I cannot wait to play it with you, Joel, because it's fun. This is what I would say about Titanfall. This is the most fun I have had in a first-person shooter in years. Even when I'm losing, I am cackling like a madman. It's so much fun. And it has been a long time coming, and it's so balanced. One of my worries was, how can you have ground wars with mechs? Are the mechs going to be overpowered, or are the weapons to stop the mechs going to be overpowered? How is it going to be balanced? Because if anyone has played Halo or any game that has a large scale vehicle in it, is pretty much suicide. As soon as you climb inside of that vehicle, it is total suicide.
Hopping inside the exosuits in Killzone makes you a madman. Of you don't die, you
but
kill
guys,
everyone, and it's ridiculous.
I cannot
bullcrap.
I cannot describe the exhilaration when your Titan falls from the sky and it reaches out and grabs you and shoves you in the driver's seat. It is so much fun. And on top of that, it's even fun to be a soldier on the ground while there's Titans running around. They did a really good job balancing it. Now, I will say, I described what I like about it, how much fun I had about it, had with it, and I do recommend it to everyone. But my gripe is, I need a campaign, guys. If I'm going to pay, let me explain it, Matt. But Matthew, long short answer, yes, it's a multiplayer game. But I'm going to redirect and I'm going to come back to it. I need a campaign. I do. I really do need a campaign, especially with mechs. There's so much story and world building that you can do with the mech universe. And I felt that Respawn dropped the ball in this area. That is probably my number one gripe about this game, is that it is a pure online multiplayer focused game. But saying that, after playing it, it's still worth the price tag. I will say that. If you're getting an Xbox, Titanfall is worth the $60. Even without the campaign, it is worth the $60 because it is so much fun playing with your fellow mates in this game. And now going back, rewinding, because I don't want Respawn to come after me. There is
too late.
There is a campaign mode, But it is required to be online, and it is it is a part of the multiplayer. It is a part of the multiplayer universe.
You know what? I just wish you losers would play Team Fortress 2 with me, because I guarantee all of you would love it.
I don't. I hate it. It's
well,
stupid.
That's because you suck at first person shooters, Joel.
Hey, you know what, dude? Don't talk about my dude that like one. That.
I'm sorry, Brandon. You know what? I hate to break this to you, and he's my dude too. But he sucks at first person shooters.
Oh yeah, me and Joe used to play Call of Duty, and we both were terrible at it. But whatever, it was fun.
Right, and this is hilariously fun. I agree.
But I will close with Titanfall on this. It is fun. It is a fun game. If you find yourself with an Xbox One, definitely pick up this title. Because
PC.
That can run it.
It is coming out on the 360 later, but I laugh at that.
Is it really coming out for 360?
Yes.
It's like, guys.
Yes, it is. It is.
That's 360 like, and the PS3 are irrelevant now.
Yes.
Honestly, that's just like tossing a penny at the homeless guys. Like, here. I want to do something, so here.
Crap.
Yeah, don't waste your time, guys.
It's going to be terrible.
If you find yourself with an Xbox One in your hands, pick up Titanfall. It is a blast. Don't let the non-campaign ruin it for you. If you're a multiplayer gamer and you love mechs, you love high-octane action, Titanfall's for you. I will say that. And
if you grew up watching any of the Gundam shows, you probably need to buy this.
Yeah.
And I haven't even played it. But yeah, that's what I feel about
it. It is. If you have love for mechs in your soul, and I can't think of anyone who doesn't, and if you don't, burn.
Yeah, if you don't, oh, sure. You know what? You're like a
I'm
serial
sorry.
Killer.
I'm sorry. I love you guys. But seriously, I do. I recommend it. And this is coming from a guy who purchased the PS4 first and had no expectations or no inkling of touching an Xbox One controller in the near future. I spent probably 8 hours of my day today having the most fun on a multiplayer game that I've probably had in 5 years. I would definitely, I would at least pick it up, rent it, check it out, see if it's something for you, and give it a shot.
Did any of you guys play MechWarrior? I mean,
I guess, original Xbox? Yeah,
no, the one for PC.
I'm
the pink flamingo of the crowd right now.
Yes,
it's
you
just
are.
Like,
yes, you
look
are.
Look at me and my useful PC, and you guys are like, oh, my console. It's cool and all because that's what everybody else is using.
No. You know what, growing up, PC was for business stuff for my dad.
Getting.
And he bought us a Sega or a Nintendo, and that's what you played video games on.
Yes,
so
sir.
Let me quote you guys.
Let me quote you.
It's 2014. It's 2014. Let me, take a direct quote from you guys. It's 2014. Times change.
It's 2014. You know what? Batman Arkham Knight is going to come out on PS4, Xbox One, and I think PC. And you know what? The PC port's probably going to suck.
Because they usually do.
PC ports for console games always are terrible.
Maybe they're console ports of PC games.
PC games are good for MMOs. And if it's not an MMO, screw it. Like,
I don't
know.
First-person shooters on a PC is incredibly difficult to get that same accurate.
PC's not getting Destiny, so shut up, dude.
Is it really? I thought it was.
No, PC's not getting Destiny. I didn't mean the shut up part. That was rude. I'm sorry.
Honestly,
but, yeah.
All the insults thrown tonight, I don't believe any of you.
Brett, that is odd. Brandon, I think we're coming off as the angry black geeks. We may have to tone it down a bit.
I'm sorry, everyone.
No, I'm right with you. I'm ready to throw stones at Matt about his PC stuff. I mean,
yeah, we got the white dude on his side.
Are you talking about? I've got to stick up for the master race. I really have to because I'm the only
master
one here.
I hate that thing. PC master race. It's like, you know what, dude?
No.
Shut up. Can you play Street Fighter like I can play Street Fighter? No, because you have to use an Xbox or PlayStation controller. Shove it, dude.
Let me ask you this. If PC is the so-called master race, why do you guys whine so much when you don't get console games?
Nobody's whining. Nobody's whining.
I believe the first whine of E3 from the winos of the master race.
From the winos.
Yeah.
Well, can you point me to these winos real quick?
Of the master race. They're all on the forums. They're all on the forums. Why is the division not coming out on PC? Dude. That sucks. Oh, my God.
A bunch of crybabies, dude.
And then all of a sudden, we get an announcement. We get an announcement from Massive and Ubisoft that, guys, you don't be mad at us. We have decided that the division is coming out on PC. And now us console gamers have to wait for them to rework the game for PC.
Yeah, because we got boned because of you losers.
Because y'all whine. So
bunch of neckbeards sitting behind your computer.
Neckbeard, you hold your tongue. I will not stand here and be called a neckbeard by some chubby couch sitting.
What's going to come after that?
You don't want to know.
On to Infamous Second Son. Infamous Second Son. Brandon, you are the man for Infamous Second Son. I'm excited about it, but you are the guy. Talk to me.
Okay. Infamous Second Son comes out, I believe, this Friday, which kind of pisses me off. Because video games usually come out on Tuesday, but lately we've been getting this Friday thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't really care. If you have not played any of the Infamous games on the PlayStation 3 console, you're going to get a real treat here. You got an open world. It's finally going to be in a real city. Before, they took place in Empire City, which was kind of like New York, and New Marais, which was kind of like New Orleans. But this time, it's going to be in Seattle. It's open world game.
Seattle is beautiful. Seattle is beautiful in this
game.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm excited to go there this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, open world game, you know, you can punch people that are just walking around if that's what you want to do. I don't necessarily play my Infamous like that because I like to be a good guy. But if I'm angry when a boss kills me, I will blow up cars randomly.
I think I did see some civilians get disintegrated.
Yeah,
I saw some civilians get disintegrated.
one of the things I really like that Sucker Punch did this time around is they didn't reveal all of the powers to us. All we know we're getting is smoke and neon.
But
there's going to be other powers in the game, but they haven't revealed them. So, I mean, I'm really excited for this game. Sucker Punch has a not pretty solid. They got a solid track record. You know, these are the guys that brought us freaking Sly Cooper. Then they brought us Infamous. And, you know, we're getting Second Son on the PS4. It's going to be, hopefully, a really good game. You know, I'm not getting my hopes up for, like, 9 out of 10 or anything like that.
Game of the year, but it looks to be fun.
I'm not getting myself up for game of the year because GDC is this coming week. E3 hasn't even hit. It's about to hit the fan when it comes to next generation games. So we don't even know what's coming. But right now, Infamous Second Son, if you have a PlayStation 4, you really need to be getting this game.
Mm-hmm.
The first two were really good. The combat in the second game was amazing. The story in the first one was amazing. Part two, the story wasn't as great, but the ending was, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the ending was really good. But yeah, I mean, if you want to waste some time of your life and you got a PS4, Infamous Second Son, you need to pick it up. It's going to be a good game. And I also need to give a shout out for Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. It's not the full game.
Now,
it's Hideo Kojima.
Now talk to me about this Metal Gear. Why are we getting pint-sized games or these? What's the word they're using?
Prelude.
Yeah. What's that about? What's going on with Metal Gear this time around?
This was kind of weird. Apparently, Kojima said that the game was too big to ship all at once, and that he wanted to have a high-profile Japanese game close to the launch in Japan, of course, of the PlayStation 3, which I totally understand because we're not getting Guilty Gear for a while, I guess.
Oh, drool.
Come on, Arc Systems.
Sad face.
Hook me up, Guilty Gear, this summer, please. I need it in my life.
We will talk good things about it on the podcast. Nothing but good things.
hey, now. I will not allow the selling out of this podcast.
Whatever, dude.
Unless, of course, Dave Newell wants to make a special appearance, I might have a little bit.
I will sell out.
Dave Newell, you're cool, but Guilty Gear, dude. Come on, bro.
Ubisoft, Massive, I will sell out for the Division early access. Just saying.
I would sell out for Bungie.
Guys, come on. Guys, this is our first podcast, and we're already setting the standards. Come on.
We may as well let it be known.
This is the standard, dude. We have none. Yeah, so I guess he wanted to have a high-profile Japanese game for close to the launch of the PS4 in Japan.
So are we paying the two separate $60 price tags for each of these releases?
No. It's going to be $30 for Metal Gear, Ground Zeroes. It's going to be $60 for Phantom Pain, which is the full game.
That is the game.
This is kind of like a prelude. Mm-hmm. And it's only like a couple of hours of story mode.
It's like eight hours tops, right? Is what I've heard.
I heard it was only like two or three.
Oh, okay. I guess I was stretching.
But like, I guess for, you know, all of the, like, you can play the game a different way each time. It's because it's open world.
I'm very interested in that.
Dude, and that's the main reason why I reserved it, is because I'm interested to play a Metal Gear game in an open world setting. We haven't had that before.
No, we haven't.
They were very restricted. I mean, Part 4 was a little more open than the rest, but it was still kind of restricted. But I'm really interested to see, you know, where they're going to take this. I mean, it's Hideo Kojima. The guy's got an excellent track record. But, you know, I need to say this right now. Could you please get us another Zone of the Enders? Please?
Please. Please. I mean,
I've been waiting since high school.
Please.
Come on, dude. Hook it up.
Please.
But anyway, you know, this is Metal Gear 5. We're back to Big Boss, who is, to me, the quintessential Snake. I mean, if you played Metal Gear Solid 3, this guy was started off as a greenhorn, know-nothing loser. By the end of that game, the dude had a patch. He was shooting guys and then blowing up Shagohod and riding a motorcycle with a hot chick.
Can't get much better than that.
The dude was the best Snake ever.
Can't get much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to get follow-up with Big Boss. And did I mention he had a patch?
Yes, the patch. You mentioned the patch. As long as there's no fat man on roller skates. And,
oh, God. Let's not talk about Metal Gear 2. Okay. I just can't get past that crap. It was terrible.
But, I'm not saying fat men can't rollerblade. I'm just saying they need to stay out
I'm
of the...
I'm saying they can't be fighting a ninja dude and rollerblading and having bombs. It's whatever. But Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom, or Ground Zeroes, excuse me, Infamous Second Son this week. For Ground Zeroes is Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. And Infamous Second Son is PS4 exclusive. Check these games out this week. It's probably going to be worth your time.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, those are definitely sound awesome. I look forward to getting my hands on those games and checking them out. We'll be sure to have some reviews and critiques here for you. Well, thanks, Matthew, Brandon, and Joel. And thank you, listeners. We'll be back next time, so go ahead and subscribe to us so you can get the good old notifications when we upload. We have a lot of exciting things in store for this podcast in the future. We'll be having plenty of guests and celebs we're trying to wrangle in for you guys. And we also plan to take this podcast on the road because Con Season 2014 is in full effect. So head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheGeekArena and give us a like so you can stay updated with all of our geekery. Join the conversation and duke it out with us in the arena. Goodbye, and remember, let your geek fall out this week.